You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Biggs.
Are you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We can venture off into a lot of different topics. Hell, we might even have a side dish. Why not?
Maybe.
Yeah, we haven't done one of those in a while.
Yeah. I like a good side dish every once in a while. What's your favorite side dish? You go to a restaurant, you have your choice of sides. What do you get? What's the classic?
I like onion rings.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. See, I'm more of a classic fries type guy.
Mozzarella sticks.
Oh, bam. Yeah.
That's the ace. Yeah. You can't go wrong with mozzarella sticks.
That's good stuff right there.
Cheese, fried
yeah.
Marinara sauce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Although, you know what I like?
That's the way to my heart.
You know what I really like,
though? And my arteries.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Perfect.
And one rich with one mozzarella stick.
Yep.
But you know what else I like is those fried mushrooms. Remember those from Phil's?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those are good.
Mm-hmm. Houlihan's also had one just called Shrooms.
Shrooms.
Yeah.
Not hallucinogenic ones, though.
No, not those. But, any sort of fried goodness is an appropriate appetizer.
I concur. And what did we say about going off on tangents?
There you go. Just there like that. Go. That's what can happen.
That was my fault.
It's okay. But you know what? Before we steer back into all the news, we usually do a little recap as to what we've been up to in the past week since we've last recorded a podcast. So, Mike, what have you been up to in the past week?
Well, this weekend I got a chance to have second Thanksgiving because my two cousins...
Second Thanksgiving
because my two cousins were celebrating their birthdays. My older cousin and his daughter were celebrating this weekend. And so they usually do a second Thanksgiving for their birthday dinner, which is amazing. Not complaining. Turkey and stuffing. You know, you talk about favorite sides, stuffing right there. It's got to be one of my favorites.
Yeah, stuffing's always good.
But other than that, I also got a chance to play the indie game that I talked about last week, Among the Sleep, where you play from the perspective of a two-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
First-person horror game. And I have to say, it was very interesting, a very unique twist on gameplay, where you move faster if you're crawling because you're a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And if you walk and run too much, you, like, fall over. It's, like, interesting twists like that, and you can't, like, reach high objects. And everything is more frightening when you're down low, because in normal first-person games, you're seeing everything at eye level, right? But when you're down on the ground and you're, like, looking up, you can't see, like, above the chair or, like, past the counter when you're, like, crawling around. And so it's, like, an added sense of mystery and terror hiding behind everything.
Well, it's a good thing that this game wasn't played in a grocery store then.
Because
in a grocery store, yeah, they always put whatever the kids want right on the first or right on the bottom shelf.
Yeah,
you know, so the kids see it and go, "Oh, mommy!" You know,
that's true. That is very true. That is smart business practice right there. But anyway, so Among the Sleep, it was actually surprisingly depressing at the end. It was scary and it had like a twist that was very obvious, but it was still kind of sad and.
Okay.
And intriguing all at once. So,
would you recommend it?
You know what? I'm torn because it's a little expensive for what it offers. I'd give it like a 6.5, 7. But, you know,
if there's a sale on it, you would get it.
If there's a sale and it goes below $10, I say give it a shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Wait for the sale
on this one.
There you go.
But anyway, I know normally I'm very positive with my reviews.
Well, nice. Sometimes you gotta have a bad review.
Well, not that it's bad. It was good. It just wasn't great and not worth the price point.
Because
it's $15 for a two-hour experience. Yeah. So, but anyway, I digress. Rich, what are you up to this week? What were you up to this past week?
Mike's expert gaming review there.
Yeah. I gotta be an expert in something, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
I had a fun weekend out and about, you know, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
Maybe you didn't rock and roll too much.
You know what? It's the end of the year. You know, things are starting to loose up. Holidays are around. You know, you got to treat yourself.
You hitting some holiday parties?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
You got to have a couple. Why not?
Yeah. A couple or several?
Several or thousands.
Or many. Thousands. Oh, my God. You were really rocking and rolling. When you say rock and roll, you mean rocking and rolling on the floor, right?
but it's holidays, so everyone's having holiday parties, and, you know, you gotta go out, have some fun. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, with the way the weather has been here in Philadelphia lately, you don't have an excuse.
I hate it.
It's like...
It's too warm.
Oh, don't be one of those people.
It's too warm. I'm sweating right now.
Okay, yes, but isn't this better than snow?
Yes, but only marginally so.
Yes.
What happened to my nice 40-degree temperatures?
It's coming. It'll be
I here. Like the 40-degree temperature. I could go outside in shorts and a t-shirt and be... You guys think I'm joking, but Rich knows I'm telling the truth.
Mike is telling the truth.
He'll wear
shorts and... You know that kid on campus that wears shorts in 30-degree weather? That's Mike.
That was me.
Yeah.
That was me. I wore shorts all the way up until Thanksgiving one year when I was an undergrad.
Look, you can wear shorts right now.
I'm wearing shorts right now.
It's 60 degrees in Philadelphia.
It is. No, it has been nice. It has been nice.
70 on Sunday.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, 70. All right. Right there, I'll say that's too warm. We should not be hitting 70 for December.
When it's December and you're driving around and you're listening to Christmas music and you're seeing Christmas lights and you step outside and you're like, oh my God, this feels like spring. You know, there's like this disconnect in your brain.
Yeah. Nice spring we're having here in December.
Yeah. Lovely spring weather.
Yeah. So, you know, just a couple things that have been going on, here in the city of brotherly love. Let's do a little teaser here, though, because I teased earlier that we're doing a side dish.
Yes.
Let's confirm it right now.
Do we have double confirmation?
Yes, we have double. We have CNN triple confirmation.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is legit.
Yeah. We are going to talk to, later on in the podcast, the Guardian Shield from the Odd News segment we had a couple weeks ago. Do you remember the story?
I do remember. We had such a blast talking about it. And now we get a chance to actually talk to the man behind the mask. We don't find out his secret identity.
No, we can't do that. That's
but we learn what he's all about.
Yeah, I can't believe we actually got him to do an interview.
I know. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Really excited for it.
Yeah. I'm so excited I pulled up stock hero music.
Well, nothing gets your blood pumping like stock hero music number one.
Yeah, all right. Woo!
Yeah.
This one's a dandy.
Yeah, we're talking about best movie soundtracks. I think this is like, you know, this is 101 right there.
Yes.
Stock hero soundtrack.
So, yeah, at some point in the podcast, we're going to be talking to the Guardian Shield. It'll be coming, I guess we're scheduled to talk to him after the Entertainment Entree, so.
Yeah.
I can't wait. We'll talk to him then.
A real life superhero, Rich.
Yeah, we get to talk
to him. I'm really excited. This is like... Every person's dream.
Yeah, every kid wants to be a superhero.
Not every kid. Everybody, period.
Yes.
Are you telling me you wouldn't be a superhero right now?
If you had
the opportunity to just drop everything and become Batman, Rich.
Oh, Batman would be awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know what my superpower would be. I have absolutely no idea what...
You could find something.
Yeah. Or I could just be Batman. I could be like Adam West Batman and just like dance.
And just dance your way through every problem.
Sure, why not? That's the classy Batman.
The classy Batman, okay.
Yeah, why not?
I didn't realize that was considered classy.
Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West. I'll come out when they're all gone.
I'm Batman.
You know what's funny is that you played that Adam West clip and you said you would be like Adam West, but you actually did your own version of that, remember? You don't even remember, do you?
That's right, yeah, I did, and I still have it for you. Rich Liebig, Rich Liebig. Ooh, we're a little Rich Liebig now. Oh my God, I'm Adam West Batman.
You didn't even realize
that. I really am.
You really are. Oh my God.
There you go. I should just get the...
Don't reveal your secret identity.
I just...
Rich Liebig.
All I need is the full cape and the gray Batman outfit.
The gray... Why the gray Batman?
That's the one Adam West wears.
Okay, but you could be different.
I could, but...
Yeah, forge your own Batman path. Forge your own Bat path.
All right, I'll have to design it myself.
Yeah, do like neon green.
Okay. Well,
you're just like whatever.
I don't think neon green would work for Batman, but no, whatever. We're going off track here. We need to get back on track, and we are going to launch into our first segment. We call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep. Sports coming at you in your face. And,
I hope it doesn't hurt.
Well,
no, it never hurts.
It will if it hit you right in the face.
But we have some interesting topics to talk about here. One, you told me specifically, don't look this up.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to surprise me about this.
I thought this would be just a little quick game to play.
Okay. What do you got?
Every year, Sports Illustrated names their sports person of the year in their magazine.
Okay.
For those that still read magazines, I don't know.
What's
a
magazine, Rich?
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
So if you pick up the newest copy of Sports Illustrated, you will find out who the sports person of the year. Who do you think deserves, out of all the sports? You have to keep in mind, this is all sports, not just your precious football.
You mean there are more sports than football?
Yes.
Well, now I got to revise my answer.
Out of all the sports, who do you think is most deserving of Sports Illustrated's Sports Person of the Year?
I mean,
had the best year of 2015?
What are the criteria?
Dominance.
You mean like dominance like in the field of play?
Yeah, in their sport, yeah.
Oh, boy, this is a tough one. I feel like it's probably somebody really popular, somebody that's made a lot of headlines. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. I'm going to throw a curveball. I'm going to say Ronda Rousey.
Wow. That was close.
Is that who it is?
You're very close.
Really? Is it a fighter?
It's not a fighter, no.
It is a female athlete, though.
It is. For the first time in Sports Illustrated history in 30 years.
Oh, wow.
In 30 years.
30 years, really?
It is a female athlete.
Okay.
But it's not Ronda Rousey.
Is it the one that beat her?
No.
Who is it then?
It is Serena Williams.
Oh.
And a topic we usually don't talk about, tennis.
Tennis.
Was that your tennis groan?
Well, I don't want to like be really loud.
Do it again.
No.
Do it again one more time. Come on. You won't.
Shut up. Go back to the story.
Okay.
Serena Williams.
I guarantee you that is not what Serena Williams sounds like.
No, she sounds much more butch than I do. I shouldn't say that. No, she's accomplished a lot this year.
Yes. You threw me off on that one.
Yeah, I threw Rich off.
But yes, Serena Williams named this year's Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. I did not realize how dominant she was.
Well, she's always been dominant, but I guess this year was something special.
Yes. She won 3 out of the 4 majors. They have a similar system like golf, which we do talk about.
You guys have to groan. Well, because it's such a confusing system. It's like they all count towards this big thing, but they're all individual things. It's like, why can't you just have one championship like football and baseball and hockey?
Well,
and basketball. I forgot about basketball.
Just look at you forgetting about basketball.
But no, anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, the majors are the cream of the crop. Those are the ones you want to win.
I bet you I can name some of them. The U.S. Open, the British Open, Wimbledon?
Well, the Wimbledon is the British Open in tennis.
Oh, now we're going to argue semantics.
So technically you're only up to 2.
The Australian Open?
Yeah.
Oh, one more. Is it another country?
Wait. You said
the U.S., British, and Australian Opens.
Yeah, there's one more country.
One more country? What other country do they play tennis in? I have no idea.
Wait. I think I have the perfect hint for you. Wait, give me a second. Here you go.
Oh, good Lord.
Ah, the
French Open. Oh, the French Open.
Orson Welles helping you out there.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Only here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast will I get from Serena Williams to Orson Welles. How did that happen?
You didn't even need 6 degrees of separation. You just went straight there.
Yeah.
But you know what? Orson Welles brings up a great point. And that Serena Williams is known for her greatness.
That is, yes, she
especially
is.
This year. Did she win the French Open?
This year, Serena Williams won the Australian Open, the French Open, and Wimbledon. Now, if you combine that with the U.S. Open win that she had last year, she actually pulled off a calendar Grand Slam, just in the same year.
Wow, that's
impressive. In 2015, she won three out of the four majors.
That's like top of the sport.
Yes.
Ability right there.
Her record, you ready for her record?
Yeah, go ahead.
26-1.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's better
Who
than...
Who beat her? Who's the one person?
It was...
I mean, that's ridiculous. Imagine, you're looking at the record and you're just going, I'm that one there.
It was an upset by Roberta Vinci, an unseeded tennis player.
So just some random person. Wow. Yeah. But still, what was it, 26-1?
Yeah.
That's
26-1.
That is immense right there.
I mean, that's better than Patriots territory.
The Eagles couldn't accumulate a record like that if you gave them a decade.
Yeah, probably. So I can't believe how much of a dominant year she had.
Yeah, really.
And she's also the top money earner on the women's tennis tour. Well,
that doesn't surprise me.
I believe it was $10
million. Wow. Made a nice chunk of change there.
Yeah. Probably chump change to her at this point.
Maybe. I guess. I don't know.
She has all the endorsement deals with Nike and everything.
Yeah, she does.
And she is the second highest paid female athlete in 2015.
Who was the first? Ronda
first
Rousey?
First is Maria Sharapova.
Oh. Because she's pretty.
She has a deal with Porsche. That's what it is.
Porsche.
Fancy Porsche.
Yeah.
Come on. Recognized dominance. Serena Williams won three out of the four majors.
Yeah.
Bam. Mic drop.
I know. What car company is going to sponsor her now?
Yeah, come on. We need...
Lamborghini or something.
Yeah.
That's a really exorbitantly expensive brand. Lamborghini.
Yeah, that'd be one. Why not? There you go. Someone should make her number one.
There you go.
All right, Maria Sharapova and your Porsche.
It's just because she's good looking.
Well, guess what? She might be good looking, but Serena Williams owned everybody
this year
in the tennis world. And
she won... and she won what matters in the Sports Illustrated Person of the Year.
Yeah, and that's what matters. She is named the Sports Person of the Year by Sports Illustrated, the first time in 30 years by Sports Illustrated that a female is named the Sports Person of the Year. Congratulations, Serena Williams. And wow, I did not realize how dominant she was.
Yeah, I didn't know either. Well, I don't follow tennis, but the other thing that shocks me is the fact that this is the first woman to win that award in 30 years.
Yeah, that seems like there should be other women.
I mean,
that should be on the cover of this.
Yeah, well, when you talk about sports, it's always dominated by baseball and football.
It is.
So, you have to figure a lot of those awards probably went to those two. But there's so many other sports where there are dominant figures. Think about the Olympic years where Michael Phelps won like 8 gold medals. Mm-hmm. So
in the 90s, Michael Jordan, that probably took up a couple.
Yeah, probably. So, I'm just saying that, it does benefit us to broaden our scope of what we consider the sports world, rather than just staying, laser focused on football and baseball and football. And speaking of football,
how many times did you say football in that last segment?
Twice.
There you go. Good job, Mike.
Thank you.
No, but in all seriousness, it's great to see someone not from the big four win Sports Person of the Year.
Yeah, congrats to her.
A woman breaking the barrier for the first time in 30 years being named Sports Person of the Year. Good job, Serena Williams. All right. I know, Mike, you have that. I love how we talk about not football in the sports sample. You get an itch. You're like, great. You're like,
I gotta go.
I'm jonesing.
Yeah.
I'm jonesing.
I need another hit of that football.
All right. Well, let's do it. It's time for football news.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitching football.
Yeah. And let's announce it. The Eagles defeated the Buffalo Bills. How did that happen?
Damned if I know. Honestly.
Mamma mia! Yeah.
Boobies. Boobies.
We were dragons!
What is this guy? Think he's an Indian?
Somehow the Eagles are on a winning streak.
Not only did they beat the Bills, but they also shut down returning leading Eagles rusher LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, so, I thought that was going to be a revenge game for him.
I did too. I think he did as well.
Well,
everybody's seen the video of him throwing his helmet after the game.
Not the way he envisioned it was going to happen.
No, I don't think any of us envisioned it going down that way, honestly. I think we both picked the Bills, didn't we?
Probably.
But the Eagles proved us all wrong. They won a second game in a row. Have they done that this year? Yeah. I'm not sure.
I think earlier in the season.
Earlier in the year, I think they probably did. But yeah. It's been a while since we've had back-to-back wins, I think.
Oh, yeah. Probably since the beginning of the season.
Yeah. So, you know, a big victory for the Eagles in a couple different ways, moral and ranking-wise. So why don't we go over some of the pros and cons. The big one that we just mentioned, we stopped McCoy. You know, we shut him down, held him to under 100 yards rushing. Held him to what? Can I do math? I don't know. 110 total yards. That's receiving and rushing.
Good job.
You know, math is tough, Rich. Okay. So.
Okay.
Didn't score a touchdown either, McCoy, by the way. So he had a rough game, to say the least. He really, really struggled. On the other side of the ball, the Eagles running backs didn't do so well individually, but as a unit, we had, you know, a good chunk of yardage between the three backs, Sproles, Matthews, and Murray, which is something that I really like to see, is their carries being split up a little more evenly, you know. So Matthews was the top rusher in terms of carries with 13. Murray had 11, and Sproles had 7. So they spread out the ball a little bit in terms of running it, which I think worked, you know, keep the defense off balance. What were some of the pros for you?
Some of the pros was, I would say, Ryan Matthews taking over the bigger role. He had more rushing attempts. And also Darren Sproles punching it in for the touchdown.
Yeah.
Oh, and Aguilar.
Oh,
Aguilar,
he had finally
a beautiful touchdown reception. Finally.
Yeah, finally got his first touchdown reception.
Took him what? 14 games?
14 games. It's about time, you know, especially before the season, everybody's saying, you know, he's a really good talent. He's a really good first round pick. He could come in and make an immediate difference. Then, you know, he doesn't do so hot in his first few games. Then he has an ankle sprain, and then he sort of falls out of the rotation in favor of Josh Huff and Riley Cooper.
And
why? And Miles Austin. Thank God we finally cut him like 2 weeks ago. So now, you know,
yeah,
we're starting
you're right.
to see
Miles Austin and Riley Cooper and Josh Huff were ahead of Aguilar at one point.
Yeah, there's no reason for those, but what, anyway, I digress. Aguilar had a nice game. He had a 53-yard touchdown reception. Great to see that out of him. Zach Ertz had a nice game too, 5 receptions for nearly 100 yards. So, you know, he's a favorite target of Bradford.
Yeah.
I like to see them connecting on a lot of passes. But speaking of Bradford, I think he played all right. He had the one interception. But the other thing you have to take into account is that the receivers dropped a couple of passes as well.
Yeah, this
Riley Cooper,
is frustrating.
It really is. It really is. You know, I just talked about Zach Ertz. He had one that, you know, bounced out of his hands at one point. Riley Cooper couldn't come down with a deep pass, so that was another issue. So, you know, they catch those two passes, and we're looking at, you know, closer to 300 yards for Sam Bradford. But overall, I think he did all right. More importantly, though, over the past few games, I think he has like a 90 quarterback rating because he's thrown 5 touchdowns to 1 interception in the past 4 games.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you for not throwing interceptions.
I'd like to see more touchdowns, but yeah.
Woo!
So.
That's good news.
Yeah, it is good news. It is good news. So, you know, it was a decent win for the Eagles. There are questions about, you know, whether the Buffalo Bills are really that good.
Yeah, because they're falling out of the playoff race in the AFC very fast.
They started
pretty good.
Pretty good. They were like, what, 4-2?
Something around there.
5-3, something like that.
Yeah.
And they've just been slipping and sliding. Yeah. Another big reason for that is, you know, another big reason for our win was Fletcher Cox on defense.
Yeah. Huge game.
He is just a monster. Another sack in this game, but he was all over the place stopping McCoy. Putting pressure on Tyrod Taylor. You know, they're speaking so highly of him all over the place. You know, Rex Ryan is finally saying that, you know, he deserves all the hype he's getting. I think he's one of the best players we have on the team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He
easily.
If he goes down, that's going to hurt the entire team.
I think so.
One more pro, that beautiful interception at the end of the game. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor just simply overthrew it, too.
Yeah, he'd been going deep all game.
Yeah, he wanted to connect with Watkins and Woods, and you think he would have been able to with the way the Eagles secondary is pretty weak. So
yeah,
you thought for sure Taylor was going to have a huge day, and he thought he was going to crank one in right in the fourth quarter, and he overthrew it. He let too much air under that one, and Eagles intercepted it. That was a great way to end the game.
Yeah. You always like to see, you know, a definitive end like that. Like, just, you know, force a turnover, that's it. And that, you know, that's the end of the game.
Yeah. So this win now puts the Eagles at 6-7.
Yep. Tied with the mighty Washington Redskins.
They could actually finish with a winning record if they went out. They could go 9-7.
I don't see that happening. Yeah. But, you know what? I'm surprised, legitimately surprised with the way the season has played out. Because I've said a couple of times, before the season and during the season that if everything went according to plan, that we would have a very good season. And if everything didn't go according to plan, which it didn't, we would have a very bad season. And it ended up being somewhere in the middle, you know, 6-7 right now, we're probably going to finish 7-9. Or 8-8, possibly.
The question is that enough for a playoff spot?
Of course it's enough for a playoff spot.
We're the NFC East.
I mean, I really do think that 7-9 is enough in this division.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely not that big of a leap in logic.
No.
This is so bad.
I mean, the only division that has, you know, records similar to us is the AFC South.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, can you imagine the NFC East being compared to the AFC South? There was a time I was reflecting about this with my parents. I was telling them, remember, there was a time when the NFC East put three teams into the playoffs, like two straight years.
Yep, we're not that anymore.
Yeah. I remember a time where the fourth team in the division had a 9-7 record.
Yep, we're not that.
Could you imagine going 9-7 in today's NFL and being fourth in the division? That is insane. That is insane.
Well, speaking of those divisions, we do have matchups with implications on who's going to win those divisions in our next segment, the Fantastic Four Picks. All right, these are four games that we think you should keep an eye on for Week 15. The first one, the Bills at Redskins. Bills, this is their second of three games against the NFC East, which I find really weird.
Who did
the schedule with this?
I don't know. They've been messing around with the schedule the past couple years, but this game does have some playoff implications. The Buffalo Bills are struggling to stay alive in that really tough AFC East. Meanwhile, the Redskins are fighting for the top spot here in the NFC East. So, Rich, how do you feel about this one?
The Redskins seem like they're comfortable with Kirk Cousins. I mean, say what you want about the Redskins. Kirk Cousins has been a turnaround for this team. They might actually run with Kirk Cousins if they don't let him test the free agent market.
Why not? He's been good for them.
But, you know, I gotta think that Rex Ryan is gonna treat this as a must-win game. And, come on, get that offense working. You have Shady. You have Tyrod Taylor. You have Sammy Watkins. You have Robert Woods. Come on. This offense needs to get a jump start. I think the Redskins will be the appropriate pill for that. I think the Bills take this one.
Yeah, you know, I can't imagine Rex Ryan going and losing two in a row like this, especially after that really tough loss against the Eagles.
If he does, they're out. The Bills would be sitting... sitting at 7-7. They're not going to make the playoffs at 7-7.
You mean 6-8 if they lose.
Or 6-8, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, if they lose...
They're not in.
Yeah, no. So this is a must-win game. The Redskins, I just don't have a lot of confidence in the Redskins. Even with Kirk Cousins, even with the ground game that they have, they always find a way to mess things up. I could be completely wrong, but I think LeSean McCoy, he was really fired up after the Eagles game. I think he's going to want to come out and tear the next team a new one, whatever team that is. I think it's going to end up being the Redskins. I'm going with the Bills as well. Next up, we have a battle for the AFC South. Talk about playoff implications here. The winner of this game will take the top spot in the AFC South when the Houston Texans travel to Indianapolis to face off against the Andrew Luckless Colts. So, Rich, actually, both these teams are without their starting quarterback. Brian Hoyer and Andrew Luck are both out. This is a really pitiful game. But the Texans are also, or no, the Colts are also missing Hasselbeck from what I understand.
Yes. Both of these, if you go back to the start of the season, both of these guys are going to be starting their third string quarterback. Yeah, it's that bad.
So how do you make sense of this one then? Is it just a coin toss?
I'll say the Colts because they're at home. this is going to be a simple who shows up on Sunday afternoon to win the division.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I don't know. This is a toss in the air. I'm going Colts.
I see this one as almost a little bit of a reverse. While the Colts started off a little hot, you know, they've gotten a little cold. Whereas the Texans started off a little cold. Now they're getting a little hot. Not too hot. They're like lukewarm. It's still the AFC South. But they have J.J. Watt. They can make things happen on defense. The Colts are just old all around. I think they're just completely lost without Luck. So, you know what?
Yeah, they really are.
I'm going to say Texans. Why not? It, really, it's a toss-up.
It is.
I think this could go either way. It could end in a tie for all I know.
Yeah.
You know? That's how pitiful these teams are.
This game could be like 6-3 or 50-46.
Well, let's hope for the 50-46. That sounds more exciting.
Okay.
Speaking about exciting, talk about this one. Staying alive, both these teams vying for different goals. The Denver Broncos want that bye week, whereas the Pittsburgh Steelers just want to make it into the playoffs. How do you figure out this one when the Broncos travel to Pittsburgh to face off against the Steelers?
My faith in the Broncos have been shaken after that last game they had against the Raiders. I mean, Brock Osweiler was looking good after the Patriots game, but he is looking atrocious since then. He looked like he looked completely lost against the Raiders last week. Looked like he didn't even know how to move the offense. They're actually even considering if Peyton Manning heals up in Week 17 starting him, which is beyond comprehension to me.
I don't get that one.
I don't know. I think they're still lost with what they want to do offensively. On the other hand, the Steelers are going to be at home. The Steelers just pulled off a huge win over the Bengals. I think all signs point to the Steelers winning this one at home.
Okay. Well, you know what? I know the Broncos just lost a tough one to the Raiders, but they still have that fantastic defense, one of the top defenses. And, you know, the Steelers have been on and off all year, whereas the Broncos, they've been winning games that they really shouldn't have been winning. I know they just lost one, but I have faith in the young QB. I think Osweiler, how do you say his name? Osweiler?
Yeah.
I think he can bounce back. I think he's got some metal behind him. So, you know, I'm going to take a flyer here on the Broncos. Even though I think the Steelers might have a slight edge, I think the Broncos could pull this one off. If they stay focused, let their defense take control of the game, I think they could pull this one off.
All right.
And finally, speaking of top defenses, though, you don't get better than this. In the Battle of the Birds, the Arizona Cardinals are coming to Philadelphia to face off against the Eagles. It's a Sunday primetime game. Rich, which bird will be the top bird?
The Battle of the Birds here, well, I'll tell you what. This Cardinals team is stellar.
There's something special this year.
I think possibly we could see Cardinals versus Panthers in the NFC Championship game.
I think that's almost a guarantee at this point.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Patriots-Cardinals in the Super Bowl, in fact.
So I don't see how the Eagles are even going to contend with this. I think this is just chalk it up to a loss right now. And move on about thinking about how to defeat the Redskins, because that's what's really going to matter if they want to win the division. I'm saying the Cardinals win this one easily.
Well, you know what? The Eagles do have a history of... No, I'm kidding. The Cardinals are going to win. Don't spit all that water.
Good job. Yeah,
the Cardinals are going to win this one. They have one of the top... I think they have the top offense. I think they have a top five defense. I mean, although I said that about the Patriots, too. But, no, I like the Cardinals. Carson Palmer, he's getting the comeback he deserves.
Oh, yeah, he's comeback player of the year.
Oh, my gosh. And Larry Fitzgerald, he's always giving us fits. Now that we're missing Nolan Carroll, forget it. It's the Cardinals.
All right, there you go. Don't expect that free Dunkin' Donuts coffee next week if our predictions come true. But there you go. Those are our picks for Week 15 of the NFL season. The Fantastic Four picks. Yeah, there you go. One more topic that I just want to get off my chest.
Okay.
Before we head into the break. The Panthers are really good.
They are really good.
They're really good.
Really good.
But are they overly cocky? Now,
are you talking about the picture?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. All right. For those that don't know, the Panthers were smoking the Falcons this past week. Smoking them.
38-0.
Yeah. And that was like all the points in the first half. Like they really could have run up the score really worse if they had played their starters.
Yeah.
But to make things worse, they took the 2-minute warning in the second half as an opportunity to take a photograph on the sideline. During the middle of gameplay, they took a photo. Is this fair or foul?
You know what? Everybody hates on the Patriots for being like this evil empire, for running up the scores. I can't think of anything more unsportsmanlike than taking a team photo in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
How little do you have to value your opponents? I have never seen, for all the things that the Patriots do, for all the things that the Cowboys do, I've never seen either of those franchises take a team photo in the middle of a game against a division rival. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That I really like the Panthers this year. Don't get me wrong. They're a very good team. They deserve all the praise they're getting. That was a really unclassy move.
Yeah.
For a team that's supposedly very classy, that was really unclassy. That was poor form.
You really couldn't wait 2 more minutes.
I know, really?
It wasn't even going to be a competitive 2 minutes. All you're going to do is kneel the ball.
I mean, look, how much salt do you need to rub in that wound?
Yeah.
You have 38 points worth of it. You know? Just let the time run out and then take a picture.
Yeah. You could have waited till after the game was officially
so
over.
I think we're both in agreement here by the tone. I think you saw that as foul as well, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people in the football, in the NFL, took that as foul.
Yeah, and it's a shame because the Panthers are a really good team. And Cam Newton has been a stellar player, and they have a classy organization. They got rid of that jerk Greg Hardy, you know, as soon as they found out about what happened. And then they go and do this, and, you know, I think it damages the image a little bit. I think after they win their next game, the image will be restored. But right now, it's a tiny bit damaged for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. So there you go, our quick wrap-up in the sports world of everything that happened in the past week. But don't go anywhere because we still have plenty more show to go. We have the entertainment entree. And don't forget about our exciting interview with the Guardian Shield. We're going to talk to him in a little bit. And then after that, we'll have the non-fortune cookie odd news. We still have tons of show left. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A man in Missouri was banned from passing go or collecting $200 when he actually started a fight at a Monopoly tournament and police sent him directly to jail. 69-year-old John Linton turned violent when he was asked to sit out from this year's tournament after he engaged in, quote, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Was he trying to steal money from the bank?
Probably, yeah.
There's always one person.
Yeah, always takes that extra $500 from the bank.
Yeah. You really want to drive people crazy? Have you ever played Cutthroat Monopoly?
What's the difference?
We would take all the property cards and deal them out at the start of the game so that everyone had at least one full set of colors so you could start building hotels on like your first or second turn. People were literally going bankrupt on like the fourth or fifth turn. It would just break hearts and destroy friendships. It was a horrible, horrible experience. I have serious PTSD from playing.
Yeah, you sound like those history documentaries.
Yeah.
You know? I remember back in 1910, during the height of the Monopoly era.
We gathered around the Monopoly board. We didn't know what we were getting into.
We heard of this cutthroat Monopoly. We never heard of this before.
We decided it could be nothing but a little bit of fun.
I wrote a letter to my fair Virginia. Dear Virginia.
Dear Virginia.
I've gone penniless here on Park Place.
If you do not hear from me, it means I've ventured past Boardwalk. I shall not return. Please no. I will always remember our time at the Waterworks. Love, your one and only Mr. Moneybags. I mean, sometimes when you play Monopoly, you do feel like that. You feel like you've hit a point where you're like, I can never be sane again.
I can't manage my own finances in the real world or in the fake Monopoly world.
Yeah, really? It's just like rubbing salt in the wound. That's like, it should be in the rules at this point. It's like the first person to knock somebody out.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we're
we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler. We're moving on to our second part of the show. We're coming up after the entertainment entree. We're going to have to talk to the Guardian Shield. We have them on the line. I can't wait to talk to them after the entertainment entree.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that one. But I just got to say, Rich, this music is just top-notch right now. What is this?
Does it sound familiar?
No? I feel like maybe, but not quite. I have no idea.
Late show with Stephen Colbert. I love Stephen Colbert. I think he has absolutely made the late show his own. Like, I mean, there are some ways it's similar to Letterman, but he has just made it his own unique show. I think to be honest with you, I think it's the best late night show. I think he's passed everybody.
That's saying a lot because Jimmy Fallon's been very popular.
Jimmy Fallon. He's good in a different way.
Right.
But I think if you're looking for a complete package at late night, Colbert, he's just been hitting it out of the park.
I gotta check him out then because I'm a huge Jimmy Fallon fan. I haven't had a chance to watch any Stephen Colbert yet.
Yeah, you gotta give it a shot.
Yeah. Well, I might just for the music. I mean, this is fantastic. Yeah. It's like jazzy and swingy and yeah.
So, yeah, why not? I figured I'd use it coming back from a break.
I think it fits.
Yep. All right. Before you start dancing around the room.
Okay. Yeah, I got to stay seated.
Yeah, if you start dancing around the room, I'm going to lose you for the entertainment entree, and that will be no good.
No.
So, without further ado, let's launch into it. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
You were jealous that your husband was stripping her, that's why you killed him, too.
Yes. Yes, I did it. I killed Yvette. I hated her so much. Flames on the side of my face. Heaving breaths.
But while we were in...
What was that? That was awesome.
That's from
Flames?
It's from Clue.
Was that from Clue?
Yeah.
It sounded familiar.
You know, yeah, you seen Clue, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
2+1+1+2.
Right, well, that was Madeline Kahn, Clue, Mrs. White.
I hated her so much. Flames on the side of my face. Heaving breaths.
But while we were in the billiard room, Miss Scott.
I love it. Flames?
You know, that was all improvised.
Was it?
Yeah.
It sounds like it. It sounds very hard to script something like that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The reason I play a clip from Clue is because Clue turns 30 years old this week.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow.
Clue is 30 years old.
Oh, man. I did not
know. 1985 was a good year for movies, man.
Yeah, I guess. What else came out in 1985? I don't know off the top of my head.
All right, here you go. Here you go. The Breakfast Club.
Oh, man.
Goonies.
Oh, my God.
my personal favorite, Rocky IV.
Is that the Russian one?
Yeah.
Rich the Doinks.
Yeah, Rich. If he dies, he dies. Commando. Weird Science.
Wow. I mean, right there, that's a fantastic list. I mean, you get The Goonies, Breakfast Club, Clue, and Back to the Future in 1 year. That's a good calendar year for movies, right? We're talking about how 2015 was really good. It seems like 30 years ago, they had another really good year in terms of movies. And Rocky IV, of course, the phenomenal,
yes, all right.
Outstanding
that's my
Rocky
favorite.
IV, I can tell.
All right, don't you diss Rocky IV.
I don't know, I'm not dissing Rocky IV. Not at all.
I don't know. I figured, hey, got to mention Clue, 30th birthday this week.
Yeah.
That's a great movie just
in
of itself.
It is a great movie. I remember watching that as a kid and just cracking up at the telegram lady.
I know what you're talking about.
The telegram lady.
I am your singing telegram.
That's all you need to know.
That's it.
That's all you need to know from that scene.
Just blow her away.
Yep.
I am your singing telegram.
That's all you need to know. Bam.
So good.
That explains the scene right there. Fun fact, that's the singer of the Go-Go's, I think, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay. Wow, you're just filled with trivia, aren't you, Rich?
Yeah, that was Jane Wildland. Of the Go-Go's.
Wow. So, there you go. Another serendipitous connection.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'm full of those random fun facts. Why not?
But those, you know, those fun facts, that they are fun, you know. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Make sure to watch a version of Clue. Why not?
I wonder if it's on Netflix.
It was. I know it was.
Oh, man.
I hope it still is. If it's not, Netflix, get on that. It's Clue's birthday this week.
Yeah, really. Come on, Netflix.
30th birthday.
Yeah. I think Netflix should just have Clue, regardless.
Yeah, come
all
on.
All the time, 24/7.
Clue all the time.
Yes.
Thank you very much. That's our stance here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, that's our official position regarding 1985 movies.
Yeah. All right, well, let's launch into the present. We were going over the past. Let's go into the present with Mike's segments. With Mike's segment this week in entertainment.
I am your singing telegram.
All right, there we go. Way to kick off.
Gotta kick it off with a bang. So we're going straight into video games. One of the biggest franchises of all time is finally hitting the Wii U. Minecraft is finally getting a Wii U version. I think like 6-7 years too late. But all those Wii U and Nintendo fans will finally be able to get their hands on the sandbox building crafting phenomenon.
Oh yeah, this is a huge fan base.
Everybody knows Minecraft. Everybody. So all those Nintendo fans will finally be able to get their hands on it. But for those PS4 and PC fans, they'll be getting a special treat in Rocket League this week when their winter update goes live for online play. It's replacing the ball with hockey pucks, and it's giving you an icy field and special winter-themed customization options. And it's only available for a limited time. So make sure you hop on Rocket League online to test out some of those new cool gameplay features.
Yeah, Rocket League's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's fantastic. I think one of my favorite games of 2015, actually. Just saying a lot because it's an indie game about rocket-powered soccer.
Yeah.
Rocket-powered car soccer. So, go figure.
It combines NASCAR and soccer.
Yeah, the perfect combination, I think. But if you're heading to the movies this week, make sure to check out this one. Sister, starring Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, and Maya Rudolph. I love those three. They're so great together.
It actually does seem like a good movie.
It does seem like a good movie, and I like the plot. It's simple, gets right to the point. Two sisters throw one last house party before their parents sell the family home. It's, you know, got a setup from one of those loud, raunchy films. You know, I'm thinking like Bridesmaid-esque right there. So, you know, it could be very good, very funny. Right now, it's got a decent score on Rotten Tomatoes. It has an 85 with a 7.2 average rating. So, you know, it's right in line with most other R-rated comedies that come out. So go check out Sisters in theaters this week. And finally, you know, there's this little film coming out, and really not many people are talking about it. Something about wars and up in the stars or something. Star Wars The Force Awakens is coming out this week, Rich!
Yes! Finally! Oh my gosh. I can't believe it's this week.
I can't believe it either. I mean, I can't believe it's actually here.
When,
it's crazy.
When the title crawl comes up and that theme music hits, I might cry.
I
can't believe it's here.
I might cry as well. I think, how can you not feel that powerful rush of emotions listening to that theme.
Yeah.
It gets you every single time. But you know what? I'm really excited for this film in general. I mean, it's got so many great things going for it. You know, it's bringing back all the previous cast members. I mean, every single one of them. R2-D2, C-3PO, Luke, Han, Leia, everybody's coming back. J.J. Abrams is helming the project as producer and director. It's got a new John Williams score. It's got Disney financial backing because now Disney owns Lucasfilms and they're going to be distributing the film. I think it can't go wrong with all these things going for it, can it?
I hope not.
I mean, no reviews have come out because Disney is like super secretive about it. But
oh, yeah.
It's gearing up to be one of the biggest releases of the year,
oh,
I think the biggest.
Of all time.
Of all time, probably.
Try all time. This is going to be huge all over the world. All the Star Wars fans are going to rush to get this to their screens to see this movie. I know for a fact that the moment I leave work on Thursday, I'm heading right over. There's no BSing around. I'm heading right straight over. And I'm going to get in line, and I'm going to go see Star Wars. Oh,
I'm so jealous that you're getting to go see it. But you know what? I'm going to wait a little bit for the crowds to die down just a little bit, because it's going to be chaos this first week, I think.
Yeah, it is. And some
I think
theaters,
they're like all sold out everywhere.
Yeah, some theaters are already sold out of the whole weekend.
Yeah, so I mean, if you don't have your tickets already, you're going to have to end up waiting regardless.
Yeah.
Unless you find like a really obscure showtime in some like really rinky-dink theater. But you know, this is one that I don't want to go to a movie tavern for.
Yeah, we gave the PSA a couple weeks ago, remember?
Yeah. I just want to enjoy the movie, you know. For my second viewing, I'll go to movie tavern. Because yes, of course I'm planning a second viewing. Are you people crazy?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's it? Two?
Oh, sorry, I know. You're hardcore. You're planning like, what, five, six?
Yeah.
At least. Like, you know where Rich is going to be every single weekend in December and January.
I saved all my movie gift certificates for this.
You just wrote Star Wars on all of them.
Yeah, this is what they're all going towards.
I don't blame you, though. This is looking to be a really awesome film. Every single time I watch a new trailer comes out, it gets me more and more pumped. I really hope it lives up to the hype. I think it can.
It can. The question is, will it? We'll find out this weekend. And if you're listening to the podcast when we release it on Thursday, chances are I'm already in line right now. So there you go. You know what I'm doing.
So Star Wars The Force Awakens in theaters this week. Go check it out.
Yes.
And that wraps up this week in entertainment.
Good way to wrap it up as far as I'm concerned.
Woo, oh, perfect.
Star Wars. Yes.
Such a classic film. Such an amazing story. Such a great... just all-around entertainment package. You know, I can't think of anything better than Star Wars this holiday season. You know, sometimes it's just so powerful that words fail you when you're trying to describe it, which leads me to my next subject. It was a very long transition.
It's okay.
But I pulled it off.
That's what matters.
Recently, there was a hashtag trending called it's hashtag explain a film plot badly. And this is when, you know, you can't just quite wrap your mind or your finger around these movie plots and you describe it in a really bad way. And so this was inspired by the classic description of The Wizard of Oz. So this is Wizard of Oz described badly. Transported to a surreal landscape, a young girl kills the first person she meets and then teams up with three strangers to kill again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty bad description of The Wizard of Oz, right?
Yeah, but it is somewhat accurate.
It is somewhat accurate. And that's the gist of these, is that they're bad, but they're accurate. So I thought, you know, I'd find some of the funnier bad plot descriptions, and I'd quiz you, see how many you know. And these are all really popular films. All of these, well, 90% of these are on your favorite movies of all time list, probably.
I think I know what one of them might not be, then.
Shh. Don't say anything.
All right, I won't.
Well, since you already probably guessed it, a group spends 9 hours returning jewelry.
Yep, that's actually the plot synopsis. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty much it.
What movie? What franchise?
Lord of the Rings.
Of course, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I think that sums it up.
I think, you know, if you want to, you know, cut it down to its bare minimum, yeah, I guess. There's actually a few more for that one, though. Another one would be Old Man Forces Child into a Volcano.
Which also does happen.
Which also works. And this one, a gay couple treks across Middle Earth to destroy jewelry stolen from a homeless man.
Oh, that's very progressive.
It is very... See, Lord of the Rings is a progressive film, Rich. It's a progressive film. You
very
should like
progressive.
It. Yeah. But let's get into some of the other ones. Here's one that you actually just mentioned. A creepy old man tricks a boy to go back in time so he can kiss his mother.
That's Back to the Future, yeah.
Of course, Back to the Future, 1985, one of those classics.
The Libyans!
The Libyans? That could be another bad plot description.
Why wasn't the Libyans mentioned?
The Libyans!
And they are never brought back up in that movie.
No.
Just... That would be a perfect bad plot description right there.
Yeah.
another good one. I think you'll get this one. A series of naps.
Inception.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, these really are bad.
When you break it down, the protagonist, when you say, what does the protagonist do? Well, he sleeps. Right? Just takes a bunch of naps. He's the most laid-back protagonist in all of film history.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. So here's another one. This one, I didn't get this one. This one stumped me. A rare, endangered aquatic creature murdered by small-town blue-collar sheriff.
Jaws.
Oh, nice. You got that one right away.
Yeah.
You got that one right away. Yeah. So I just love these descriptions, though.
Yeah.
I think they're... Because they fit.
They
but
are,
they're
they
so
are true
bad.
To the story.
They are true. So this one, you can't get more more basic than this one. Folks are unhappy.
Just that simple?
Just
folks
that simple.
Are unhappy?
Folks are unhappy. I guess you could say that they're kind of down in the dumps, maybe a little miserable. They're a little miserable.
I don't know. I think that's too vague. People just aren't
happy. Folks,
could be
folks are unhappy. They're a little miserable.
I don't know.
Les Mis.
Okay.
The sure. Miserables.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Literally the miserable.
Literally.
Oh, all right.
This is really literal, isn't
wow.
it? Folks are unhappy. The Miserables.
Okay. But that you could say that for any movie just about.
I guess
you know?
You could, really. Yeah.
I don't know why. My first thought was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Everyone's miserable.
Well, that's true. Well, you're right. It fits basically every movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And folks are unhappy. Yeah. So, yeah, that one, not as descriptive as the other ones, maybe.
It's okay.
So what about this one, though? Here's one that I think is a little tricky. A startup company learns the importance of a proper IT budget. That's a tough one.
So...
A startup company
has a problem with IT. Something's wrong with the computer.
I guess you could say that the entire movie sort of happens. The inciting incident is a malfunction with the computer system. Do you want a little bit of help? A second one, maybe? A second clue?
Is this like 2001 A Space Odyssey? Like how goes...
That would be a good one. But it's actually not that. So I'll give you a second clue. A team of scientists... agree to a questionable proposition in order to secure grant funding.
All right, so the goal was grant funding.
Yeah, this one's a little obscure.
All wow. Right.
You want a third clue?
Yeah, man, yeah.
Like Uber, but for dinosaur eggs.
Oh, Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I knew that one would give it away.
Like Uber, but with Jurassic Park. All right.
Like Uber, but for dinosaur eggs. Well, that's how, you know,
yeah, there you
think
go.
About it. The whole movie is because of IT mess-ups, right? Because the computer
right.
systems fail.
Yeah.
A team of scientists agree to a questionable proposition just to get some funding for their dig site. And the main thing is because Nedry wanted to take the dinosaur eggs and get them off the island.
All right.
So those three perfectly describe Jurassic Park.
All
in
right,
a really bad roundabout way.
I like it though.
You like it though? You give it your official Rich
yeah,
stamp of
I
approval?
Like it, yeah.
All right.
Uber, but with dinosaurs. I just that phrase will never be uttered ever again.
No, no. Nobody will ever say that again.
Yes.
Good
job, Internet.
But you know, this is something. So speaking of, you know, these new tech trends like Uber and Airbnb. How about this one? A family's first Airbnb experience goes very wrong.
Okay, Airbnb is the app where
I think
you can rent your house for people or your apartment for people?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, so a family uses it and it goes wrong?
Goes very wrong, yes.
What movie does a family let a complete stranger use their house?
Well, it's the family's first Airbnb experience. So the family is going and renting somebody's house.
Oh, the family's going.
Yeah.
The Shining?
Yes. Very good. I saw that, like, recognition. Yeah. You're like, could it? Could it? Yes, The Shining.
I love The Shining.
The Shining is good. It really undermines the whole movie, though, to think of it that way.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, like, Jack Nicholson's just searching the Airbnb.
Could you imagine like the start of the film? He's just browsing through his phone.
This seems all right. Yeah. That would be the stupid remake version if they did one nowadays.
Oh, no.
Don't
give them any ideas,
Don't
Rich.
Do this, movie companies.
They're listening. Hollywood follows us.
Stop it. No, do not even think about rebooting that
You
one.
Watch 5 years from now. Shining reboot.
And the Airbnb. Main character uses yeah. Airbnb
I
to
bet
get
you.
There.
Yeah,
oh,
I bet
God
you.
God damn it.
You ruined it, Rich. You ruined it for everyone. So I thought these next ones were appropriate, given the fact that we'll be interviewing a superhero in just a little bit.
Ah.
So we have some superhero movies. Sort of gave you a little bit of hint there. But see if you can guess which superhero movie specifically. A German scientist helps allies in World War II thanks to his pioneering work with steroids.
Is that Captain America?
Yes, Captain America, yeah. Captain America, when you boil it down, it's just steroids.
Right.
Right?
That's a superpower.
That's a superpower.
Steroids.
Taking steroids. It's basically, what's his face? I can't remember his name now. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Just Arnold Schwarzenegger in general?
Well, he would be Captain Germany, I guess.
Captain Germany?
Isn't he from Germany?
He's from Austria.
Austria, whatever. I can't remember. Captain Austria.
Oh, one of those countries.
One of those countries, you know. Whatever.
Oh, it's not the same country, you idiot!
Oh, I don't know why I'm doing Arnold Schwarzenegger, too.
I'm doing Arnold Schwarzenegger, not you!
Oh.
You're not doing it right!
Well, who am I gonna do then?
You're doing Mike Costanzo!
Oh, okay. Am I doing a good impression so far?
No, do it now!
Okay, I'm trying, Mr. Schwarzenegger. How about I
can't do that for too long. My throat starts.
It does.
To hurt.
It does hurt your throat.
It hurts.
Well, how about we bring Rich back and we give him another bad plot, bad film plot. So this one, heroes win in the opening scene, so they create a villain for the rest of the movie.
What is it? Avengers?
Age of Ultron. Yeah.
Wait, who's the first one? They.
Well, they have that raid on that facility.
And they
beat them, and they capture.
Oh, right. I forgot
about
that.
And then they
first
take
part.
The robot back, and they're like,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Let's create Ultron.
There you go.
Because why have a little bit of peace when we can have a lot of...
No, let's launch right into it.
Yeah, when you really think about it, they really did mess things up for themselves. that whole movie would not exist.
Tony Stark did.
He's Tony Stark did,
that
yeah.
Goes full force on it.
What a jerk.
Thanks, Iron Man.
Yeah, I know.
Way to help out.
Good team effort. all right, let's see. What else do we got here? Okay, well, we'll stick with the superhero theme. A paranoid billionaire is afraid of immigrants. Or is afraid of an immigrant.
Donald Trump?
Yes,
what?
It's Super Trump. No, not Donald Trump, but a paranoid billionaire afraid of immigrant.
A single immigrant? There's only
single,
one immigrant?
A single immigrant. You could say that he's an illegal alien. Movie comes out in 2016.
Batman versus Superman?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Batman's Donald Trump?
Batman is Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they fooled everybody. The Ben Affleck thing was just a ruse.
See, I'm the Adam West Batman, and Donald Trump is the Ben Affleck Batman?
I guess so. I'm Batman.
Gonna be huge.
I got a batarang. It's gonna be huge.
It's the best batarang you've ever seen. The best.
What type of batarang?
Gold plated.
The best batarang.
Gold plated. All right.
A gold plated batarang?
Yes.
With diamonds and everything. Oh, that would be highly ineffective, I think.
I'm moving the Batcave to Queens.
He's gonna put it at the top of Trump Tower.
My Batmobile will shoot right out of the tower. It'd be great. It'll be the best thing you've ever seen.
Actually, I might vote for him if he did something like that. Could you imagine a Batmobile shooting out of a skyscraper? That'd be incredible. That would be amazing.
All the other countries are going to respect us. Yeah.
We have Batmobiles, and they don't. So they kind of have to, you know.
Argument one.
There you go. Boom. Mic drop. You just won the presidency.
Yep, right then and there.
All right. Let's do this one. A Christmas classic for the Christmas season. Yeah. It's not a Christmas movie, but it takes place during the holiday season.
Okay.
A neglected sociopathic child tries to murder two homeless men.
Oh, Home Alone?
Yeah. Yeah. He really does a number on them.
He does.
If you think of some of the things he does is really violent.
There's paint cans to the face. One guy
gets
burned.
He burns a dude's head.
Yes.
Those are like third degree burns. He needs to go to the hospital.
No, it's a fun children's
movie.
Yeah,
it's a fun kids movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the scene where the guy steps on the nail, that dude is going to get an infection and die.
Yeah.
He stepped on the nail.
That's it.
That's horrible.
He needs a tetanus shot.
Yeah. Oh, that's sociopathic. What was his name? Kevin?
Kevin McAllister.
Kevin McAllister. What a jerk. Don't you agree? I think he went over the top.
Well, he was defending his home.
Why didn't he just
call... That was his right to defend.
Why didn't he call 911 in that movie?
Wait.
There was like some convoluted reason.
Yeah, I think he didn't want his parents to come home or something. He was enjoying his freedom or something.
Really? People are breaking into your house and you're more concerned with having the place
freedom!
To yourself? Freedom, yay! Such backwards
I'm
logic.
I'm gonna kill you, Kevin!
Well, wait.
Oh, self-defense!
Is that what he yells when he's beating people up? Self-defense!
Self-defense! That's what he says to his lawyers.
Self-defense! Why does he sound like Mickey Mouse? Self-defense!
I don't know.
But you know, it doesn't make sense, because if he gets kidnapped or killed by the burglars, then he loses his freedom anyway.
But then he doesn't have to deal with his annoying family.
So it's a win-win for him.
Yeah, all right.
So
he either succeeds and he has freedom for the rest of the Christmas vacation, or he dies and he doesn't have to deal with his annoying family ever again.
Man, that movie just got really dark.
Yes, it did.
He's like, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with a
mission.
It's a suicide mission. Just straps on like a paintball gun and gets his little broken up Christmas ornaments. That got really dark.
If I'm going down, I'm taking you with me.
See, though, that is why these are so much fun. Bad film plot, or film plots described badly.
There
that would be
go.
Another good one. Kid goes down with the house. So a few more. Here's a good one. Professor has an unusually productive sabbatical.
Professor. Ghostbusters?
No, but that would be a good one. That would be a good one. Why didn't you just have that ready to go?
Why not? It's Ghostbusters!
Out of all the themes you have ready to go, it's just Ghostbusters.
Why not, man?
That it's and awesome. Star Wars. It's like one and two, right?
Yeah, it's right on my list of movie themes. That was my list of movie themes. Where was Ghostbusters on the list last week?
I don't know if Ghostbusters was on the list.
Complete BS.
I'll have to go back and check that.
Oh, that list made me so angry.
It did. It was a little frustrating.
There you go. I had Ghostbusters ready to
but
go.
But this movie's theme was on the list. A classic John Williams score, A Professor Has an Unusually Productive Sabbatical. A movie scored by John Williams.
Okay. Can I have another hint?
Another hint? This person is also going to be in a movie release that you're looking forward to.
The person is in, or the movie is in?
The actor will be appearing in a movie you're looking forward to this week.
I feel dumb.
All right, you're so almost there.
So wait,
A Professor Has an
Indiana Jones. Why he has? See, here's the thing. I always forget Indiana Jones is a professor.
Yeah. I think it's only mentioned like once.
Yeah, it's only
in
mentioned.
In three movies.
Yeah. It's only mentioned like in the very first movie and like the Crystal Skull one they did.
Do they mention it in that one?
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Yeah, they mentioned it earlier in the movie.
I mean, he must be a really bad professor if he just like runs
off. They never
off.
Mention it in like the second and the third one.
Yeah. Like, how many classes does he actually teach if he just goes globetrotting and fighting Nazis all the time?
How many? Like, two.
Two. He's there for the first day of class to hand out the syllabus and then just leave.
Yeah, he's one of those teachers that like always takes class off.
And you see, if this were if he were teaching in the 21st century, he could just do an online class.
Yeah, there you go.
And you know, he's like running away from boulders, checking his email, like, oh God, I gotta create these assignments.
God damn it, I'm being chased by a rock.
How's that for a reboot?
Yeah. Help!
Oh, yeah.
Class canceled. Rock after me.
Rock, just rock after me. Like it's a sentient being. Like it's following him around. Oh, my God. Okay, so here's another one, a very popular release this year. We just saw it a month ago. An alcoholic, well, in the series. There's another movie in this series. An alcoholic orphan and his boss burned down the family home.
Skyfall?
Yeah.
I was like, are you referring to...
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, an alcoholic and his boss
yeah,
burned down
right,
the family.
Yeah, that's right.
That's, spoiler alert, that's what happens.
Yeah, damn it, if you didn't see Skyfall, whoops.
I mean, it's like 3 years old by now, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, you should have seen it by now.
And look, this plot is described so badly that it doesn't even matter.
Okay, good one.
So, just a few more.
Yeah, how about one more? We got it, because I believe the Guardian Shield is holding for us on the line.
Okay, I'll go with this one then. You should get this one. A teenager recruited to a terrorist organization destroys government facility, killing thousands.
Specifically a teenager?
Mm-hmm. Recruited to a terrorist organization. Destroys a government facility and kills thousands.
Oh, my God.
I know. That's awful, right?
I can't think of what would be a
teenager. Do you want another hint?
Yeah, what's another
okay.
hint?
Okay. I'm trying to decide which hint to give you because I know one of them will give it away instantly. How about this one? A father reunites with his long-lost son, wants him to take over the family business.
It's not The Godfather?
No, it's not The Godfather. You want your third hint?
Yeah.
This will give it away. Ready? A handsome mercenary who owns a pet bear intervenes to stop incest between a brother and sister.
Star Wars.
Yes.
I guess that is true. The Rebels could be seen as a terrorist organization, according to the
Empire. They're Rebels.
Yeah.
They're not... You know, they're not the military of the Empire. The Empire is the government.
That's right.
They rebelled against them. They blew up a government facility. Those are bad dudes, those Rebels.
Yeah.
I'll be cheering for the Empire in The Force Awakens.
Don't mess.
Don't mess, no.
So, there you go. Explain a film plot badly.
There you go.
Good,
I think they yeah. I thought they were pretty bad, but also pretty good.
Yeah, good find, Mike. I enjoyed it.
I thought you would enjoy that.
All right, but now I think it's time to get... It's been a while since we've done this. It's time for a side dish. Woo, side dish! Yeah, it's been a while since we've done one of these.
It has been, but this is a very good opportunity to bring it back for such a momentous occasion. We're getting to interview a real-life superhero, Rich.
Yep.
How excited are you?
I know. This is amazing. I can't believe we're actually talking to a real-life superhero, and we're doing it on the phone, so it's a phone interview!
Call on me.
Yeah.
We're both just like bobbing up and down.
Yeah. Gotta play the call music.
Gotta. That's so good.
That's actually part of the reason why I wanted to do this interview. I wanted to play the call on me music.
Yeah.
It's been so long since we've done that.
I know. That was the thing you were most excited about. You're texting me like, I got to play the call music.
Yes. But you know, actually the thing I'm really looking forward to is talking to this real life superhero. We had him in the Odd News segment a couple weeks ago. We found out the story about this guy, a superhero of Beaverton. You can't forget that name, Beaverton, Oregon.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Yeah, you can't forget that. Who had to be relocated from his apartment, and he was having trouble finding a new place. Well, that story made the rounds all over the Odd News feeds, and we covered it on the show 2 weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
And just as just why not? I sent a message to his official Facebook page, and he actually responded.
Wow!
And one thing led to another, and we booked an interview with him. And here he is. We have him on the line. We have the Guardian Shield here on the line with us. Hi, is this the Guardian Shield?
Yes, it is. Speaking.
Awesome. This is Rich and Mike of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I'm Rich.
Hey, I'm Mike.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for having me on.
First off, I'd like to thank you for coming here on the show. You know, we had this story that came up about you I think it was 2 weeks ago, and... It was an interesting story that we had to cover in the Odd News segment. And I gotta admit, I wasn't sure if reaching out to you, I'd even get a response. But it is so cool to actually get a response from you and actually get you here for an interview. So I just want to say thank you for doing this phone interview.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Now, the first question I have right off the top of the bat, because the news story that we had in the Odd News was you couldn't find a place in Beaverton, Oregon. The apartment was...
Yeah, that's the most recent of news things. Yeah. But I'm all moved, so I'm in a better location, so it's good.
All right, he's got a new location.
All right,
that's good to hear.
A new bat cave, right, or a guardian shield cave?
Yep, more or less. And I have area. I have a much better area to train now, so that's good.
Excellent.
Yes, that's good.
Yes.
Just one matter of clarification: do we call you Guardian Shield or the Guardian Shield?
Guardian Shield.
Okay, just wanted to get that. Some superheroes are picky.
Right. I mean, if you got to call me, Shield works fine too. That's good.
Okay. I have a question for you. How much like actual crime do you actually fight? Would you say
there's kind of two different ways of going about doing it? There's the lurking in the shadows, trying to catch people in the act, and then there's actually like walking the streets, and which is what I do. And I think honestly, I'm more of a deterrent. I know that I've determined some shadiness where I see, a group of like three guys standing in the shadows by a long line of cars, and I start shining the flashlight at them. I start walking in the direction, and then they kick rocks. And so, I know I've deterred some shadiness, drunks kind of meandering and, through the apartment complex, they kind of, when they see me, they hurry up and they actually go somewhere. So I actually haven't stopped anyone or caught anyone in the act, but I know that I've helped probably deter some shadiness, yes.
Well, preventing crime is just as good as stopping crime.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that also attributes to something that's a bigger issue for you, is that you want to be a force for good for the community.
Absolutely.
And I gotta admit, this is actually the serious side of the Odd News story that I think is really awesome. I mean, it was fun to have, the joke going on, or, you couldn't find, a place to train and everything, It was almost kind of like, what's Batman without his Batcave and everything, and that was kind of the joke we riffed on. But the serious side of this is you're actually a great force for good in the community. I noticed this on your Facebook page. You're certified in first aid, self-defense, and CPR.
Yes.
So, I mean, in a real situation, you're actually a good first responder should there be something
Absolutely.
Wrong.
Yes. And that's what, I say, I'm a superhero. And when people are like, well, what's your power? You don't have any powers. A superhero to me, it's just a title. It's like you're, a podcast radio host. Or, or somebody's a janitor, or a security guard, or a teacher, or whatever. It's just a title. What you do under that title, that's what defines you. So, yeah, I'm a superhero, but to me, it's like the ultimate first responder. I'm out there, I'm just looking out for my community, I'm looking out. Basically, my two goals, it's like, I'm not going after the big fish, okay? I mean, there's plenty of organizations going after the big fish. I'm out there to help with the little problems, random violence, random vandalism, if I got to make a 911 call, or, just to be just the first one on the scene to do something and not just stand there and film it and put it on YouTube, or at worst, walk by and, like, it's not my problem, so I'm not even going to get involved. That's not why I'm out there. I'm out there to help where I can, and, that's why I do it.
Wow. So you do it just by being a presence in the community and being that public figure that people can look to. Serving as...
I like to think, and I don't want this to come off like arrogant, but it was just really cool. When I met somebody and we just happened to cross paths on a Max Transit, and the guy actually said, "I feel like I'm talking to Captain America." And I was just like, that is so cool. That means so much to me, because that's the standard that I want to be at. That's like, I'm out there, I'm doing good, I'm helping the community, and when people see me, I want people to know, like, yeah, that's you know, he's a good guy, and if we have a problem, we can go to him, and he'll help us to the best of his abilities, you know, and I like that. That's really cool.
Wow, that's amazing, you know, being this inspiration for your community. But I want to know, what inspired you to be this superhero? Because everybody as a kid says, I want to be a superhero when I grow up, but you actually went and did it. So what inspired you to become a superhero? What made you take that from fantasy to reality?
Back in 2006, there was a movement that kicked off, real-life superheroes. If you Google it, there's like, I don't know, 400 strong in the world. They're all over. And I wanted to do it then, but I'm of the mindset that you can't just dress yourself out of your closet and go out there and be like, I'm here to help. You're going to be like, what? You know, I'll risk it. You know, you go home before you hurt yourself, you know. So I wanted to get the proper gear, get the proper training, look as, you know, quote-unquote professional as I can for a real-life superhero. When police officers tell me I look legit, then all right, I'm doing something right. You know, I don't look like I got my underwear all over my pants and I got a towel wrapped around my neck and, you know, I wanted to be taken seriously. So it took me 9 years to accumulate all my stuff.
Yeah, you didn't want to look like Doug Funny's Quail Man or something.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to look like that.
But you do look very professional. I have to say, you look very imposing with that giant shield you have. Do you take that with you on
is
on
it
your
a
patrols?
Real shield? Like, can that deflect?
Yeah, that is a Kent, K-E-N-T, ballistic shield. Yes, it is.
Wow.
Wow, our associate producer wanted to know that. That is a real shield.
That is a real shield.
He gave you a thumbs up. Just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you. But, yeah, I just, you know, and what's really cool is as of lately, I'm actually, I don't know if I'm the spokesperson or what's going on, but I got people in Greece talking to me, people down in Mexico wanting to start their own, become their own superhero in their community and help and do things. And I inspired a guy, if you Google Citizen Saint, he's in St. Louis right now. He's a member of the community superheroes in his neck of the woods. And, you know, it's very inspiring. People always say, you know, well, what's my agenda? You know, my agenda is to make superheroes real. That's my agenda and help the community.
Yeah, I mean, your story is getting a lot of traction. I mean, it reached all the way here to Philadelphia. We covered it. And you bring up this, this thing you mentioned, the community superheroes. And I checked out the website. It looks great. It's kind of like a grassroots organization for budding superheroes that may want to try this on their own. What do you envision with this new group that you've created called the Community Superheroes? Where do you see this going?
I would love for there to be a the only thing that comes to mind right now is like a Splinter Cell, you know, group, but a small team in like every city across the United States. Why not? You know, a group of concerned, you know, citizens who go out and look out for their fellow neighbors. I mean, and you get to be a superhero and help people. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's what every kid wants to do.
I know, that would be amazing.
The problem is with a lot of it though, and I always have to remind this to people because, you know, they start off all, you know, hot and excited and, you know, they got the fire, right? But, most of the time it's very, I don't know if you've ever been on a fire guard kind of detail, but it's very boring. It's a lot of walk-in and a lot of just, you know, it's great when I get to interact with people, but sometimes it's a slow night and I don't interact with anybody and nothing happens at all. And, you know, a lot of times it's really boring. And when you train, you know, you're sore and then you go out and it's, you know, for like 2-3 hours and the weather's rainy or cold or, you know, and you don't get paid. I mean, you really got to be motivated because for a real life superhero, it's pretty, you know, it's not as exciting as the comic books make it or the movies or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a lot of downtime. And you're not getting paid for this. This is all volunteer.
Yeah. It's all volunteer.
The, That's phenomenal, though, that you go out there, you know, all the time, you know, whether you're actually, you know, stopping anybody or not, but just your presence there and that commitment to just keep going back, because it's,
and,
you know, it's, yeah, like, happens if you don't
go out? Because I love being a superhero, and I love, you know, that's what drives me. It's like, yeah, I'm doing this for real. So, you know.
I was checking your Facebook right before we called you up, and I noticed that you had a very cute event with sharing a story with kids at the Beaverton Police Activity League. I want to know, what story did you share with them?
Oh, it wasn't so much an actual story. It was just a lot of Q&A. You know, they asked me the questions, is the shield real? You know, how often do you go out? You know, what kind of training do I have? You know, so it was, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of the kids that actually, can I hold your shield, you know? I was like, yeah, I let them kind of hold it because it's 10 pounds, so, you know, just want to give them a feel for it. But, yeah, it was mostly a lot of Q&A. And just, if anything, I was just trying to tell them that anybody can be a superhero. Everybody has a skill, a talent, an ability that can be used for the greater good. Like me, I don't know anything about computers, but somebody out there offered for free on my part. I mean, I think it might have cost him like $500 out of his own pocket, but he's the one who created the Community Superheroes website because he believes in the mission. He believes in what I'm doing, and I appreciate him for that. And, you know, but everyone has a skill. Everyone could do something. And if you can't patrol, I always tell people, then fine, spend like an hour in the evening just by the window looking outside with the phone ready to call 911 if you see somebody snooping around cars or doing something suspicious. You know, if more people were looking after, you know, taking an hour out of their day to just watch out the window, you know, I think it might prevent a lot of bad things from happening.
Yeah, and I like what I forget if this came up on your Facebook page or on your website, but you had a tagline in your mission statement that was ordinary people doing something extraordinary. And I think that's a great motto to have for your craft and for the future of any other budding superheroes that may want to take part in their community or with your group, the Community Superheroes. I think that's a great
exactly.
message.
Thank you. Another, just if you're going off some things, one that really motivates me when I'm not is, because, you know, I do get a lot of snickers and a lot of people think I'm crazy and they just don't get it. And that's fine. But I'm not out there for the hundreds of people who do not need me. I'm out there for the one or the few that do. So if I could be in the right place at the right time to do something good, then mission accomplished.
That's just a fantastic outlook in general, I think. That's amazing.
Thank you. I'm doing my best. I'm not perfect, and I can't be everywhere all the time. You know, it's really disheartening and sad sometimes when people are like, oh, something happened yesterday, or you just missed something like an hour ago. Where were you? You know, it's like, I'm sorry. You know, I do work. I do have, like, a real life. And,
this gig doesn't pay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, if you saw a need for a superhero, then become that superhero. That, you know, so that's why I'm always trying to hope and inspire more.
Yeah, and I think that's part of your mindset is not only for you to be the superhero, but you want other people to become their own heroes in their own right.
Yep, exactly.
Well, I think we've talked you off enough, but I think it is apparent that you, sir, definitely are a superhero, and we are so glad that we were able to get you here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thanks for being a positive force in the community. Just wanted to say thank you and to give you your time here on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. It was an honor being on here. Thank you.
Well, folks, there you go. The Guardian Shield talking to us.
What an awesome guy.
Yeah.
You know, I really love those messages. I really love what he said, you know, when he talked about if you see a situation where you need a superhero, become that superhero.
That was great.
That's a great message, I think, for everyone in any walk of life.
Yeah. And, you know, I think he wanted to show that, you know, he's not just, you know, kind of doing this, you know, for kicks and giggles. Like, he's actually trying to make a positive change on the community, and I respect him for that. And
yeah, definitely.
And I think it was great that we got him on the show, and we had a little chat about his superhero activities. Make sure to check him out on Facebook. All you got to do is search The Guardian Shield, and you'll find him. But there you go. That's a lot of talking we did.
Entertainment,
entree, and a side dish for you.
Hope you guys aren't too stuffed, though, because when we come back from the break, we have our tastiest segment yet. For dessert, we have the non-fortune cookie odd news.
That's right. I got another batch of odd news for you that you need to listen to for just outrageous stories that actually happen. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A 39-year-old Pennsylvania man phoned the Allentown Township Police to report that someone stole his Jell-O from the break room refrigerator at work!
What?! We can't have this. Friends, there's a lot of things in this world that upset and anger all of us, but none of them are as vile as someone stealing another man's Jell-O.
If I can't have my Jell-O safe at work, where else do I go?
It was just the strawberry Jell-O. I didn't even get a chance to eat it. It was so young. I had only bought it that weekend. I loved it so much.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and an exciting side dish where we had an interview based upon the odd news, which,
yeah,
you know, that's where all dreams start, is the odd news, isn't it?
It's where a lot of dreams end, too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
As you guys will find out in the upcoming segment.
That's right. You know, it all started in the odd news with that Guardian Shield interview.
Yeah, yeah. We just had the craziest odd news story about a real-life superhero, and we decided to reach out and do an interview, and he graciously accepted, and we were so excited to do that. But it just goes to show you never know what you're going to come across in this next segment. This wacky, this wild, always random segment that we like to call the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada Basata, I don't make this stuff up.
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back. Get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woohoo! Yeah! You ready?
All right. I am so ready. For those of you that might not know the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I've never seen these stories before. Rich finds them and keeps them hidden and secret and safe for me. So my reactions are my gut reactions, my genuine first time hearing these stories. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. Like Guardian Shield.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we found out about the Guardian Shield. And so, you know, you never know what you're going to find. We're always looking for the next hot story.
Yeah.
Such as?
Such as this first one that may not be someone we want to get in contact with.
Are you sure, Rich?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have an interview with this guy in our first story.
Okay, well, what happened?
Well, we're going to California in this one. If you're going to carjack a FedEx truck, it's important that you remember two things. One, that you actually can drive the vehicle, and two, that you have clothes on. These two things is not what this guy did.
So what, a naked guy just jumped into a FedEx truck and sat in park? Is that what he did?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Authorities in Riverside County, California said that a man named Albert Luna tried to carjack a FedEx truck on Saturday evening in Coachella. Police said a FedEx driver was getting a package out of the truck when Luna confronted the man and demanded the keys while he was not wearing any clothes at the time.
Nice.
Wow.
Wow. What happened to his clothes?
Yeah.
That's why he wanted the FedEx truck. He was hoping that there were, like, clothes in a package somewhere and that he could borrow them.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
No? Nobody's buying my story?
The driver handed over the keys and ran to a nearby home to report the incident. Luckily, nobody was injured. Police said that Luna put the keys into the truck so he could drive away, but he was unable to drive it.
Okay. Why?
I guess it's like a double clutch system or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
Now, it's obviously not an automatic. Anyone can drive an automatic.
Right, right.
So there must have been something with the gears he wasn't sure of, and he couldn't drive it.
Right. You know, that brings up a good point. If you're going to carjack somebody, make sure it's a car you can actually drive.
Yeah. Well, when he realized that he couldn't drive it, he ran away from the scene still naked. Investigators were able to track down Luna at his home the next day based on the driver's description of what the man looked like. Luna was charged with one felony count of carjacking. He's currently in the county jail on a $60,000 bond.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
$60,000 is a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard other stories where it's only like $20,000, $25,000 for like much.
Well, don't you mess with FedEx.
I think it's because it was FedEx.
Yeah, all right.
That's why it was such a large bail thing.
Might be my Amazon package in there.
Yeah, I'm expecting a shipment, so don't carjack any FedEx trucks in the next couple days.
All right, we're all ordering for Christmas.
Exactly.
You know, I need the gifts to come.
Exactly.
Or else my nephew is going to be sad.
And you don't want Rich's nephew to be sad.
No. How can you make a poor seven-year-old sad?
Just that one nephew, though. The others are okay. You heard it here first, kids. Uncle Rich has a favorite.
Mike knows.
Whoops. What?
Mike knows that I have nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Plural.
Yeah.
I was just trying to present a story, but there you go. Read into it.
I blew up your plan, Rich.
All right. Ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right. Still sticking in California, but we're going to San Francisco in this one. Two San Francisco police officers were recognized after they rescued an elderly woman who was trapped in her sofa in her sofa bed the day after Thanksgiving.
Trapped in her sofa bed?
Yeah.
Like, do you mean she was like laying on it and couldn't get up, or do you mean like physically trapped inside of it? Like closed herself inside of it? Because that's impressive.
Two officers discovered the 84-year-old woman trapped in the cracked frame of her sofa bed after hearing her faint calls from the hallway of her apartment.
That poor lady.
Help me. The two had developed a relationship with the woman. The cops regularly checked up on her and delivered her Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, that's actually really nice.
The officers suspected some kind of danger when they received no answer when they went to visit her the day after Thanksgiving. They believed she had been stuck in the bed for about 12 hours before the cops had arrived.
I'm still confused about how she actually got stuck in there. She, like, did it fold up on her?
I guess it did. And
or did she, like, fall into it somehow?
I guess, like, she's in the corner of the sofa and it, like, came back up on her.
Maybe.
And she couldn't, she didn't have enough power to get out of it.
I mean, the moral of the story, though, is that sofa beds are really dangerous.
Apparently.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
That's her ultimate form.
That's her ultimate form, yeah.
A sofa bed lady.
Sofa bed lady. You make it sound like a Pokemon. This is like our final evolution.
Sofa bed lady.
That's a really awkward name. Yeah, sofa bed lady.
Yeah, if you mesh it all together, it might be a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Sofa bed lady. Come back here, sofa bed lady.
What was that?
Come back here, sofa bed lady.
You're just shouting random words now.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Well, you know what would be really funny, though, is if the cops, like, came in and they're, like, looking all around and they're, like, stomped. It's like, oh, man.
Where'd she go?
I can't figure this out. Where did she go? I just need to take a load off my feet to think better. And they plopped out on the sofa. What is that noise? It sounds like it's coming from right underneath me.
You jerk. I'm right here.
Oh, well. Can't find anything. I think I'll lay down and take a nap. Oh, that would be hilarious. Sad, but hilarious.
The Richmond district captain has commended the two police officers for their caring attitude towards the woman and other local seniors. And they'll be getting a commendation, later this month. So there you go.
That's a good story.
That's a good story, actually.
Yeah. That's not so much odd as like heroic, Rich. What's up with that?
Well, why did you fall in the crack of the sofa bed?
That's true too.
Don't you have a nice regular bed?
Or a regular sofa?
Or, yeah, come on.
It's one of, I don't know. I mean, I guess sofa beds have a purpose. If you have people staying over a lot, maybe.
Well, obviously this 84-year-old woman didn't have a whole lot of company if her two friends are only two cops.
Yeah. That made it sad. Way to go, Rich.
Sorry. Whoops.
Whoops. Sofa bed for one. I want to know how she got stuck in it,
yeah.
Though. Like, the one thing that I really want to know, and they didn't bother to ask.
Damn it, news reporters.
Was it really that hard to say, how'd you get stuck? No, they had to be sensitive.
Ugh.
And not make her relive the tragedy.
Oh, the PC police are everywhere.
The PC police. Well, we can't talk about sofa bed incidents.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
All right, this one's a quick one, but it's just funny to imagine. In Britain, a driver tried to hide from police after he crashed his car after driving drunk on Saturday morning by trying to hide in a nearby Christmas decoration. More specifically, a nativity scene.
Oh. So it's like the classic scene from all the movies and TV shows where he like pretends to be an old wise man, right? Or is it the one of the three kings? I don't know.
North Yorkshire police shared a photo to Twitter showing a black Mini Cooper crash into a metal railing. The post stated that the driver fled the scene, fled to a nearby shed, and then to a nativity scene. He was caught hiding behind Joseph. Like, yeah, he's my boy.
He's my boy, Joseph. We go way back.
Yeah.
Before he had that broad tagging along with him.
Yeah, this merry broad.
What happened to bros before hoes?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say those things.
And I don't think the baby's his, just
FYI. Oh, you think Mary was stepping out on him? Damn. Oh, snap.
I don't believe this old virgin story.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something doesn't make sense here.
So he was just hanging out with Joseph, catching up with his old buddy. And the cops, what, they try to arrest them?
Yeah, they arrested him right there.
Oh.
He was located and arrested right on the nativity scene. The driver failed a roadside breath test and was taken into police custody. So,
having a little bit too much of the sacramental wine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. The guy was just trying to get in the holiday spirit. Come on. Can't fault him for that.
Yeah, come on, guys.
I mean, look, he just wanted to have a little bit of fun, you know, partake in the nativity. Why not? I can't believe people actually try that, though. Hiding in nativity scenes. Like, how many times you see that in, like, movies and TV shows and cartoons?
They won't notice me here.
Yeah. Usually they, like, pull out, like, a robe from somewhere. They, like, blend into the scene, you know what I mean? He messed up.
Yeah, I think the jeans and the black t-shirt give it away,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You don't have a robe or...
I don't remember the three kings looking like this, or the three wise... What were they? Wise men or kings?
Kings. Or,
were they kings? The song is We Three Kings.
Yeah, the song is We Three Kings.
But I think the story actually goes old wise men. I don't know. Whatever.
The point is, there wasn't a guy in jeans and a Metallica t-shirt next to the...
Metallica was very big back in the day, Rich.
It wasn't next to Jesus.
Back in the 80s. Oh, just the 80s.
Little baby Jesus. Rock out!
Exit light.
Here tonight.
Take my hand. Off to Christmas land. I don't know. Not one of my better parodies.
That's on your B-side.
That's on the B-side.
Yeah, when you have your compilation of B-sides.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right, let's go from bad to worse.
Okay. I don't know if we can get worse than that.
And I got Florida stories for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, it's not an odd news segment without Florida stories.
Okay, so what do we got from Florida this week?
All right, check out this story. An escaped suspect was arrested after she was found inside a stranger's home wearing the owner's flannel pajamas right in the dude's bedroom.
Wow. She got pretty far without anybody noticing her.
Yeah.
Were the people there?
Deputy said that the intruder, 22-year-old Aaron Rice, broke free from authorities Sunday morning and broke into a 72-year-old homeowner's home, where she washed her clothes, took a shower, put on the owner's PJs, wow, and took a nap inside her bedroom.
Where was the homeowner? Was the person there, or was this person like away or something? Because that's a lot to be doing without somebody noticing you.
Rice had been arrested earlier on charges of retail theft, resisting an officer with violence, battery on a law enforcement officer.
Wow.
And giving a false name. Wow, yeah, she had a lot of charges already. So,
yeah, really?
Now, after this, she's now being charged with burglary and petty theft now.
Oh, my gosh, she's racking up the charges.
Yeah, put it on my tab.
Put it on my tab, yeah.
Yep. It all started when Rice was seen shoplifting several hundred dollars worth of cosmetics from a CVS pharmacy. Officials said that before Rice left the store, her accomplice, John Willie, realized that deputy...
John Willie? Yep. That's a fake name. Come on.
Yep. Had spotted him in his car and he drove off. Meanwhile, a deputy nabbed Rice as she left the CVS store and took her into custody. As the deputy got one handcuff on Rice's left wrist, authorities said that she became combative, spun around, and shoved the deputy to the ground and ran away. The deputy managed to give chase, but Rice got away and eluded capture during a search that also included K-9 units and a helicopter. She's elusive.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
All this for what? $700 worth of cosmetics and then escaping?
Yeah.
Well, did she hit the cop, you said?
Yeah, she hit the cop. No. So, yeah, you can't play around with that.
No, you can't.
Deputies said that they were flagged down shortly on Sunday morning by a couple who asked if they were looking for a woman. The couple said that after the husband left to play golf that morning, the wife found a strange woman in the house who was wearing her husband's clothes. The wife said that she called her husband and demanded an explanation. When he came home, the husband insisted that he wasn't having an affair with the intruder and had never seen her before. Oh.
She almost ruined a marriage.
Yeah, wow.
God.
This Aaron Rice lady, wow, she's doing damage everywhere she goes.
I know, she's really on a tear, man. She's just trying to destroy everything in that town.
Later on, they found Rice's socks and undergarments in the washing machine.
Well, you know, she's on the run from the cops, so she has to have clean laundry.
The cops later spotted John Willie driving off and trying to conceal Rice, who was hiding on the floorboard of the vehicle.
What?
How are you trying to hide under the floorboard of the vehicle?
I think they mean, like, lying down in the backseat or something.
I hope so, because there's no way you can hide underneath the floorboard.
Yeah, I don't think they mean underneath the floorboard.
This isn't speed. both of them were taken into custody. So Rice has a slew of charges waiting her, and John Willie was also charged with being an accessory after the fact to robbery and helping an escaped prisoner. So,
wow.
A lot of charges everywhere.
I love the fact that she stopped to do her laundry, though.
Yeah, very important.
Like,
laundry is... Cleanliness is next to godliness. You gotta,
That's true.
You gotta do your laundry even when you're on the run.
It's so true. I mean, think about it. She's thinking, I might not be able to get the chance to do laundry in, you know, maybe a couple weeks if I'm on the run from these cops. If I have to head out to state, you know?
And I won't be able to take a nap.
Yeah, so you gotta take a nap too while you're at
it. And I won't be able to sleep in PJs again.
Yeah, so you gotta take the PJs.
Yeah.
This lady's just trying to, you know, make a life for herself.
And I won't be able to ruin another marriage.
Yeah, that was the best part though. How she almost inadvertently ruined a couple's marriage.
Yeah. Imagine getting that phone call. You know? I don't know who this chick is.
You're lying. Tell me. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He probably got it the worst out of everybody in that story.
Yeah.
And you know it. You know he probably got it the worst.
All right. And I got one more Florida story for you here.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
And this one's weird to imagine, but it's true. Police are trying to identify a man who crawled under a bathroom stall at a Cracker Barrel and told a 79-year-old woman that, quote, hey, I want to have sex with you.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I know it's something to do with, sex.
Look, man, you got to give the guy props for being direct.
Yeah. You know.
Fortune favors the bold, right?
That's right.
Just crawls in. He's like, yo. Let's bang. We'll bang, okay?
Wow. Fortune favors the bold. Yeah. Good quote.
A 79-year-old woman, though?
Yeah.
I know there's like cougar, but like she's like one of those sickly cats, you know?
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, I know there's MILF.
There is a such thing as a GILF, though.
There's GILF. What is this? G-Gilf?
G-Gilf, great-grandmother. I'd like to blank.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Yeah, you're pushing it at that point.
Boynton Beach police spokeswoman Stephanie Slater said that the woman told police she was using the bathroom when the man crawled under the stall and told her that, hey, I want to have sex with you.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
But like I said, direct. You know, he was direct. He was you know, very sure of himself. So I think those are two winning qualities.
Boy, and at a Cracker Barrel, too. Nothing gets the juices flowing like Cracker Barrel.
Oh, man, Cracker Barrel. Whew.
It's the early bird special, if you know what I mean.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
The early bird gets the worm.
Well,
this worm is ready to go.
The elderly woman said that he cursed at her after she denied him.
Oh, well, that you can't do that.
Yeah. So she screamed for help, and the man rushed out of the bathroom.
So she only screamed for help after he started cursing. Not when he crawled under the stall and propositioned her for sex.
She took it as a compliment, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, my. What a sweet young lad. I'll have to decline, though. You mother effing.
You bitch.
You bitch. Hey, help, help. And then she falls into the sofa bed.
Well, Slater said that the old woman described the man as being, quote, scruffy looking.
Who's scruffy looking?
Scruffy looking nerf herder, right?
That's, yeah. Hopefully it's not on Solo.
Who's scruffy looking?
Maybe
it was Han Solo, though.
Old Han Solo.
Old Han Solo, yeah. How old was this guy, by the way? Does it say?
No, they haven't caught the guy.
Oh, they haven't caught him.
No.
Do they have an estimate, though? Like... did the woman say he looked like he was in his 20s or 30s?
The woman only says that the man looked scruffy looking and was wearing a white t-shirt, shorts, and a hat.
Okay.
So it's probably not Han Solo. Han Solo doesn't wear a hat and doesn't wear shorts.
Could you imagine Han Solo with like cargo shorts and like a baseball hat? That would be hilarious. That would make that movie.
Anyone who recognizes the man is asked to call Boynton Beach Police. He's still on the loose, so good luck trying to find him.
Oh, boy. I love the fact that he just crawled under the bathroom stall and was just so straightforward with it. Hey, you want to have sex? No, thanks.
All right, I got one more story for you to wrap up this odd news segment, and I think you're going to like it because it has to do with goats.
I love this goat right now. A goat story.
Yeah.
I think the last goat story was the story that quote came from.
I love this goat right now. Yeah, we all know you love goats, Mike.
I love goats.
Well, Mike, I think I might have the perfect Christmas present for you.
Okay.
This year.
Is it a goat?
We kid you not, a charity called Action Aid Sweden has come up with a weird idea. It decided to create a musical collection called The Most Important Christmas Album because they want to highlight the positive impacts that goats can have on communities living in poverty.
Oh, my God. I have an idea where this one's going.
And they've done it by creating a Christmas album that is sung entirely by goats.
Of course. Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's do it.
Would you like to hear a couple samples?
Yeah, I'm dreaming of a goat Christmas.
All right, well, here's the problem is that it's in Swedish. So I can't play the whole advertisement because it's in Swedish and you're not going to be able to understand.
But I don't care about the Swedish. I want to hear the goats, Rich.
Yeah, there's a snippet in the ad that features a couple of the goat songs.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
Here you go. This is from Action Aid Sweden.
I'm going to Disneyland. Come and go to Disneyland, all you people living in Sweden.
Yeah, so Gary Busey
would approve. Gary Busey, Sweden, and goats. That is a combination.
Gary Busey would approve.
Yes, he would.
But here it is. Here is a clip from the advertisement. Here it is. The Christmas album sung by goats.
All I want for Christmas is a goat.
So that's the snort. That's the short snippet
from the
ad.
All I want for Christmas is a goat. Oh, my God.
But now I can play snippets of the individual songs.
Oh, God. Okay, what songs do you got?
All right. First up is Holy Night.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready for Holy Night sung by goats?
Yeah.
I can't believe this is a
thing.
This
is going to be ridiculous.
Here you go. Oh, Holy Night. Goats, take it away.
This goat right now. Yeah, not crying from laughter, crying because I was so moved by those goats just pouring their souls out. I don't know what some of those goats were doing, man.
I don't know
those screams. Oh, I know why. Why wouldn't it be a thing?
Oh, God.
Why wouldn't it be a thing? Give me one bad reason. Give me one con against a GOAT Christmas album.
I can't.
There you go.
Action Aid Sweden explains how goats can survive in climates too dry to grow crops. So in their existence, they provide milk and wool to help struggling families in some parts of the world where it is very poor. So that's the reason why they made this album, to draw attention to how helpful goats can be in the world.
No, they didn't. They made it so they could hear goats screaming in time to Oh Holy Night. That was the best rendition of that song I've ever heard.
All right, well, I got one more sample for you.
Oh, good God. Okay, what do you got?
I think it's appropriate to close out.
Okay.
Why not? Let's end it with a classic. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
So beautiful. Wait, now, can I buy this album?
Yes, you can.
Can I purchase this on iTunes, or how do I get this GOAT album?
Well, first off, you can buy it off of the website. Type on right Action now. Aid Sweden.
GOAT album.
Yep. You can buy it off of there. It's also right now on Spotify.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yes. So you can have the whole album on Spotify if you've got a Spotify account.
Oh,
and
man.
You can have the glorious Christmas goats scene, what your heart desires in the holiday season.
Oh, it's a Christmas miracle, Rich.
Merry Christmas, Mike.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Thank you.
I love this goat right now.
It's a week too early though, Rich. But that's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's good for the whole month of December.
Right, it's good for the whole month.
And beyond. If you want to listen to this in January, February, go ahead.
Yes.
There's never a wrong time for goats singing Christmas carols. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am moved spiritually, emotionally, mentally.
You're ready to
sexually?
Go out?
Sexually? No, I'm kidding.
Whoa.
No, okay. No, not that far.
All right, well.
Three of the four. I won't say which three.
Okay.
I'm kidding. It's a joke, Rich.
Okay, all right.
It's a joke, Rich.
How about we just get to the last portion of the show?
Go ahead.
Let's recap everything that we've learned. Folks, it's time for What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned on this episode?
There is a Christmas album full of goats screaming.
That's right.
That's really all I care about anymore. I didn't learn anything else, because once I heard that, it pushed everything else out of my mind.
There you
just
go.
Goats screaming for Christmas. That's amazing. But I did learn a few other things. I did learn that, Rich, you are the Adam West Batman, apparently.
Yeah, I'll be fun, Adam West Batman.
I think you would be, too. You know, you already have that one clip of you imitating Adam West, so you're like 80% there already.
Ta-da!
That's all you need is that one clip.
And all I gotta do is work on my bat dance.
Yeah, the bat dance is also very important. Yeah,
yep.
Of course. I also learned that, you know, speaking of superheroes, Guardian Shield is a fantastic role model and public figure, in Oregon. And I learned specifically that if you see something, if you see a situation that needs a superhero, you should become that superhero. What a fantastic saying.
Yeah.
That's
that was
I've
a cool
learned.
Interview.
That was an awesome interview. That's what I've learned. Have you learned anything, Rich?
I've learned that if you're going to steal a FedEx truck, make sure you know how to drive it. And don't be naked.
That's very important, yeah. In fact, don't be naked unless being naked is actually called for. Yeah. Keep your clothes on in public.
Yeah.
It's usually a good bet.
Usually.
Usually.
And there you go, folks. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
All right, and before we officially wrap this episode up, a little bit of a programming note. This is the last regular episode of 2015.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, this is the last quote unquote regular episode where
that's right.
We stick to the formula of sports, entertainment, odd news. Because next week it's Christmas, so we're gonna have a Christmas themed episode.
That's right.
For that week. And then the week after that is New Year's, and for New Year's we usually do a retrospective look on all the crazy odd news stories we had in 2015.
We have so many to choose from.
Yeah, I don't even know where we're going to start.
I don't know. Well, it's all right. We got 2 hours to fill.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll find more than enough. Yeah. But yes, I'm really looking forward to these two special episodes.
Yeah.
And
so,
I'm sure you guys will enjoy them as well.
Yeah. So keep on the lookout for next week's Christmas episode. And also in the meantime, if you have any favorite bits of odd news that you remember throughout this past year in 2015 that you think we should highlight as part of our Best of Odd News segment, let us know. Tweet at the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us know what we should include
hashtag,
for that final episode.
Hashtag Odd News 2015 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Just get us at the Crispy Noodle on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or on Facebook. We're there, the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah. Or if you just, yeah, or just yell at us.
Or yell, yeah, sure.
Or something. Just get our attention.
Send a carrier pigeon.
I like that method best, I think. I think I'm gonna, like, disable all my social media and just strictly use carrier pigeon.
Sure. But, yeah. It'll be,
You're just like, whatever.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're completely...
We heard goats singing, alright?
Yeah, yeah.
Alright, goats are singing.
Carrier pigeons are flying.
We don't make this stuff up.
We can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, alright. So, there you go. I'm spent. What a way to close out our last regular episode of 2015. So to recap, you can find us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some of our best bits, interviews, and other fun videos we've put up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your phone, computer, or tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right, and make sure you're subscribed to our SoundCloud page, where we post the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We take the best bits, we shrink them down to a 2-minute mini noodle promo that you can listen to on the go and share easily with your friends, your family. Why not share it at Christmas dinner coming up? Why not?
Yeah, I think there's no better place than to share the Crispy Noodle Podcast than at family Christmas dinner.
Sure.
It unites the family. I mean, could you imagine playing those goat Christmas carol, odd news story during Christmas family dinner?
Yeah, why not?
That's beautiful. Thing of beauty. But if you want to reach us individually on Twitter, you can find me at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us on Twitters individually.
Remember to send us those favorite moments from the odd news so we can start compiling that major list for our New Year's episode.
Yep. Keep on the lookout for our Christmas episode next week and then our Best of Odd News in 2015 show the week after. Also, thanks again to the Guardian Shield for the interview.
Yes, big great, thanks to him.
A lot of fun talking to him. Folks, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next week for the Christmas episode.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Doodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here! Pa-pow! Something!